Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the Inside China Basin Baseball Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring players like all-star catcher Buster Posey.
It's about, you know, just going out and trying to have passion for the game that I've loved since I was a kid.
And San Francisco Chronicle columnist John Shea is our regular guest, too.
Bumgarner, he's a god, isn't he? He does all these things that no other humans do.
Inside China Basin is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play. Today's guest is former Giant Will Clark, but before we talk to Will, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco, where you might see Giants relief pitcher George Contos.
It's a great golf course. It's very convenient for us to get there, and it's a very challenging course. If you're not in your game, you get in the rough. Rough's long there. It's a very beautiful course. They're very gracious and get us out there anytime we're able to get out there for an off day and play some golf. So, with how beautiful the course is and how challenging it can be, it's always a lot of fun getting out there and playing around.
Now let's get to the conversation with Will the Thrill. Well, Will, let's talk about the Giants this season. Obviously, they've been disappointing with the way that they've played. So, what have you been seeing? How could they turn this thing around?
Well, they started off spring training having a bunch of injuries coming out of spring training. And, when we had hitting, we didn't have pitching, and vice versa. We had pitching, we didn't have hitting. So we hadn't had it all combined yet. We'll show, sparks of life. We'll win a series here, and you're like, man, they played real well, and then you'll have a bad series. And, I hate to say it, but that's baseball sometimes. And in some years, you have to battle through that stuff. You just can't, lay over and die. You got to battle. And that's what these guys are trying to do right now, is just find a way to go out there and score a few runs.
When you've been around for a few years and you've had success and you have a proven track record, how much does that mean? I mean, when things are not going your way, what enters into your mind at that point?
What enters into your mind is a long season. We've been there, we've done that, all that good stuff. But also at the same time, we got to get this thing turned around pretty soon. We're in June now, all right? We're easing up on the halfway mark of the season, so it needs to turn. And, hopefully it'll be today. It'll be the start of the turn.
It's bizarre because Buster Posey is tearing it up as far as his batting average. He's, among the league leaders, but he just doesn't have the RBIs. What are you seeing there? I mean, he doesn't have much opportunity. I mean, home runs mostly are solo shots.
That's one of the things. Most of them are solo shots, but then also me being a middle-of-the-lineup guy, I notice when guys get pitched a lot tougher than other guys. And right now, especially with runs in scoring position, they are just feeding Buster just a load of everything. And, they really don't care whether they walk him or not. And sometimes that's tough hitting.
How do you handle that, too, as one of those middle-of-the-order guys, when the team isn't doing so well and you're putting a load on yourself, and you can't really do that because you can only do so much, right?
You can only do so much. If you come up with nobody on, you can't hit a three-run homer, that kind of thing. And, vice versa. If you get two guys on, and they're basically pitching around you and giving you, trash to hit, you also can't, do it there, too. So you sort of got to give what they take, and give and take type thing. And, with Buster, his average is still up there. So, he's getting crucial hits. But you can just see it when the run is on base, they're not giving him anything to hit.
It seems like with Buster and a lot of guys, and maybe you too, that when you're going the other way, it seems like that's when things are going well, because then you could do anything you want. Like, you could turn on the inside fastball. Did you look at it that way? Is that the approach that you want to see?
Well, Buster goes the other way a lot. And, so he and I have quite a bit of conversations on that. Myself personally, when you played at Candlestick, you had to hit the ball left field because that's where everybody was going to pitch you, because right field was sort of the wind tunnel at times. So, I had to learn how to hit the ball left field and hit the ball left field with authority. And so Buster's doing that here, in this ballpark, trying to hit the ball to right field and hit it with authority. And, it's hard to do. It's not easy. Pulling the baseball is really easy to do. Hitting the ball the other way is a little tougher. And so, he's doing a great job with it.
We'll have more with former Giants first baseman Will Clark right after this. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I guess they should have hired me for that TV commercial. No, I don't think so. But seriously, in San Francisco, it's really true. In fact, AT&T Park has a good neighbor right around the corner. That's right. Sandy Lee State Farm is a Buster Posey home run away from AT&T Park at 188 South Park Street on the corner of 3rd Street. Sandy Lee has been my State Farm agent for 10 years, and I have to tell you, when I've made claims, Sandy Lee gave me peace of mind, which is what we all need when it comes to insurance. Whether it's car, home, or even earthquake insurance, Sandy Lee and her team are down-to-earth, devoted, and understanding. They take control of any situation, and you never feel like you're being sold something. Give Sandy Lee State Farm a call at 415-227-9833. That's 415-227-9833 for Sandy Lee State Farm. What about these shifts now? How would you have approached it? How do you want these guys to handle shifts? I mean, Brandon Belt always has the overshift every time he comes up.
Here's one bit of common sense when it comes to that, okay? You're in the batter's box. You do not have cement shoes on. You can move around. You can move closer to the plate, further away from the plate. All right. There's a reason why nobody shifted on me. It's because I'd move around on the batter's box. So now the pitch on the inside corner is now out over the plate a little bit more, and I can hit the ball the other way. Those kind of things. And so it's a mind game. You can do that. The modern day players, they don't move around in the batter's box near as much. And so these shifts that they put on, you know, they keep trying to hit the ball through the shift. It's like, well, hey, look, have you ever heard of hitting the ball, you know, a ground ball at shortstop? If you do that, you probably hit about 400 right now. And, you know, you try to make common sense like that. Sometimes it takes hold. Sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, banging your head against the wall for a little while. Let's talk about the young guys that have been here. Some guys are not here anymore, like Christian Arroyo. I wanted to start with him because when he first came up, you know, he was tearing it up at AAA, and he was looking great here, had some big hits. And it's hard. The kid's 21 years old. So what did you think about him, and what does he need to do when he comes back?
You know, all of these guys that get called up, you know, in our system, I've seen in the minor leagues for at least, you know, 3 or 4 years of them coming up. And I've seen Christian all the way through A-ball, all the way, you know, till he got to the big leagues. So, you know, I was able to, you know, try to give him a little bit of experience. You know, he started out like a house on fire, and then, you know, the league learned about him a little bit. And he started being, I guess you would call it, non-selective. You know, he started swinging a bunch of bad pitches, and he was putting too much pressure on himself. And then once he sort of calmed down, you know, things started, you know, happening a little bit better for him. But then, you know, the organization made a change, sent him down to AAA. And since he's been down in AAA, he's been swinging the bat well, you know. So it seems like he's calmed down and relaxed a little bit more. And so now when you see him come back for the second time, hopefully that little experience that he had, you know, will provide him with a little benefit, and he'll be able to take advantage of it a little bit more.
Tell us about the conversation he had with you about his number, 22, your number, which, of course, was Jack Clark's number, too. I mean, it's a great number.
Yeah, you know, I got 22 because, you know, we did a press conference, and they just had one laying around in Jack Clark's old jersey, and that's why I became Clark 22. So, but, you know, with Christian, I started laughing and giggling because, you know, they gave it to him in spring training, and I showed up, and I said, hey, look, I'm just letting you know that number's got a lot of hits still left in it. And so he started laughing, and so then he goes down to AAA, you know, and before they called him up to the big leagues, you know, he's hitting 460 or whatever, and when he gets called up, then I'm here, and I congratulated him. He says, hey, you were right, that number's got a lot of hits in it. I said, yeah. I said, now it's time for you to use them on the big league level. So
I remember this reporter when you were in Baltimore, I'll never forget, he asked you about how come you weren't wearing number 22 with the Orioles. And you said, there's this guy, you may have heard of him, Jim Palmer. I mean, sometimes you can't get the number.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when you get a Hall of Famer and the number's retired, they don't give those numbers back out. And so, you know, hey, look, you know, a number is exactly what it is. I mean, I was 23 in college, and, you know, I got to the big leagues, and Jose Uribe had 23. And I asked Jose if I could have it, and he said no. And I said, okay, I'll stick with 22 then. So for me, it was just a number. But, you know, in every organization I was in, you know, with the exception of, like you said, Baltimore, they just gave it to me. So I really appreciated that.
We'll continue the conversation with Will Clark in just a moment. Do you want to go to the perfect restaurant and bakery before a Giants game? Why not go to the place where Matt Cain ate before he threw his perfect game? That's Townsend Restaurant and Bakery. It's true, I'm not making this up. On June the 13th, 2012, Matt Cain had a great meal at Townsend, then took the mound down the road at AT&T Park and tossed the first perfect game in Giants history. your meal can be just as effective after you choose one of their homemade sourdough English muffins, scones, and breads. Townsend also serves cage-free Petaluma eggs. For 26 years, Townsend has been capturing the spirit of San Francisco with consistent quality from their family-run business. Serving breakfast and lunch Tuesday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 2 p.m., and brunch on Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Townsend is located right along the Embarcadero at 2 Townsend Street in San Francisco. Eat at Townsend Restaurant and Bakery, and who knows, perhaps you can be perfect that day too.
The one thing that people will always remember about you is how intense you were out there. But did you have to temper that at times? I mean, as you moved along in your career, is that something that you talk to the young guys about as well, where you can't treat every at-bat like it's the end of the world?
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, I wore some at-bats early in my career. I wore them on my sleeve, took them home with me, all that sort of stuff, and made me miserable. And the older I got, the more experience I got, you know, being around, you know, Mike Kruko, Bob Brenly, Dwayne Kuiper, you know, talking to veterans like that, you know, I was able to leave a lot of it at the ballpark and not take it home with me. And then that affected me a lot better. I was able to make it through seasons a lot easier. I wasn't worn out. I wasn't mentally exhausted, those kind of things. And, you know, I try to now, like you said, pass that experience along to, you know, a lot of the young guys. Another thing, too, is, you know, guys like myself, we played every day. You know, I went 3 years without coming out the lineup. You know, I played over 400 games straight. So, you know, you try to tell guys how to make do with injuries, how to prepare every day, how to battle through, you know, little adversity and slumps and stuff like that. And, you know, that's what guys like me are around for.
Before I let you go, defensively, I mean, you were great over there at first base, and Giants have a really good one in Brandon Belt right now. They had JT Snow over there. But how much does that sometimes get lost? Because you're always looking for offense over there, but some teams just throw a guy over there, and they're not going to get that same defense.
Well, and then now first base is getting to be more of a specialized position, and so you're starting to see, you know, better first baseman and offensive guys over there in the same right. For myself, you know, Keith Hernandez was sort of our first of our generation that played first really well. And, you know, myself and Mark Grace and Andres Galarraga, we followed that up. And then now you see the JT Snows and then on and on and on. So first base is a real important position. There's a lot of stuff going on over there that nobody sees. And, hey, look, we're the guys that record the outs, and we're the guys that, you know, can save other people errors and stuff like that. So, you know, there's a lot of pride in playing defense over there.
You're also the guys who talk to the base runner. So yeah. Give me one. Is there one conversation that was memorable for you over there?
You know what? I don't want to say there's one conversation, but the guy that I talk to all the time, and because we could never get him out, was Tony Gwynn. And Tony and I got to be really good friends over there. I learned so much about hitting. I learned so much about being a professional from Tony. And, you know, we actually got to be such good friends that that his son thought that I was the best player on the other team. So we got to be real good friends. But, I mean, you know, learning from him and learning how he went about his craft was pretty special.
All right. Hey, Will, thanks a lot for the time. Really appreciate it. And good luck with the Giants the rest of the season.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That's former Giants first baseman Will Clark. Thanks for listening to Inside China Basin on thesportsvirus.com.